it shouldn't be that way. And so may the Lord help us with that. Well, in the time that remains, if you could just very quickly just turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel, and I hope this will really just tie in nicely with what Albert was sharing this morning and our great responsibility as parents, and to give us an example here of a lady who was in deep anguish. And in her anguish, she cried out to God, as we all should, as those who fear and believe in God. She knows where to go. And in 1 Samuel is the whole account of this great prophet that God sent to his people Israel, of Samuel. But the whole account, or story if you like, starts before, obviously, he was even born. Okay, and the whole context around that. So we're not going to have time to look into all of that. That's fine. You can have a look at that in your own time. But we're going to look at a few things from 1 Samuel chapter 1. And just to get the backdrop here so we can see something of the heart of this precious lady called Hannah and her prayer and her anguish that she was going through and how God answered her and what that would say to us even as parents and grandparents and as a church community in this time. So from 1 Samuel chapter 1, just a few verses there from the first, it says, from verse 1, it says, "Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, and Hermaphrodite." This is going to be in the Bible quiz afterwards, isn't it? "And he had how many wives? Two wives. Oh dear. The name of one was Hannah, whom we know, hopefully, and the name of the other was Peninnah. Now Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there." You read about them later on, how God dealt with them. "And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters," because obviously she had children, "but to Hannah he would give double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival, the other wife, also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. And so it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat." So a pretty sad story here to start off with, okay? Hannah, who's loved by Elkanah, okay? I can't imagine what it's like having two wives. Oh my goodness, back in that time, can you imagine, men? I mean, to explain yourself twice or three times or four times, you know, can't imagine, okay? And it's something, a practice that we don't see anymore, as we know, even rightly so, polygamy is outlawed, okay? Although there are the religions who uphold these things through Sharia law and all these things, this is not God's desire for us, and we can see even here problems that come from this, okay? Elkanah had his hands full, two wives, okay? And of course, he loves Hannah, but she's unable to have children. Now, this is a huge problem, well, always throughout history, okay? And particularly for women of that time, as we know, this was seen as a terrible shame that comes upon them if they are unable to have children and provide that heir, as it were, okay? And so now it's compounded by the fact that Peninnah's there, the other wife, the rival wife, and she's able to have children. And you know, you get some people in this world that are just downright nasty and mean. Some of them are doing it from afar, but some of them in your face. And here, in this close proximity of this family, there is a rivalry going on, and there's something very bitter and something very ugly happening here as Peninnah provokes her and mocks her, okay? Squashes her when she's down. This is the one thing in the lady's life, in Hannah's life, that is really hurting very deeply, because everybody knows her womb is closed, unable to have children. And it says her rival also provoked her severely. This was not a nice thing that was happening, to make her miserable because the Lord had closed the womb. And it was year by year when she went up to the house, verse 7, of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. Hannah was, if you like, depressed about this whole situation. Okay? A terrible thing. Now, she prays. She prays, as we shall see. And I want to just caveat this with, just to help us, you know, because I always like to pray, Lord, help us so that your word shapes us, okay? Because one of the great dangers is, I hope you can agree with me today, in the modern world that we're living in now, we want to shape everything around about us, okay? We want a comfortable life. We don't want anything to rock our boat, as it were, okay? But I love the word of God because it does that very thing. And in fact, it doesn't just rock your boat, it smashes your worldview apart, okay? And I'm glad about that, because I want to be aligned to God's word and not my comfortable life. If I'm just living a life of complacency and everything is just the way I like it, but it's outside of God's will for my life, I want there to be a change. Now, I want you to see here, even with me this morning, how our world has so changed, okay? Now, we're living in a time where children, sadly, in many people's lives are just seen as I've heard somebody with my own ears say, not in this church, was somebody who's not a believer, a work colleague of mine years ago, children are a handbrake in life, holding you back, okay? And a lot of people have developed this kind of thinking, okay? Now, compare and contrast that kind of thinking, or result of that kind of thinking, compare and contrast that to what we're seeing here in the Bible, even with Hannah. She was gutted to the point of utter depression, if you like, that she's unable to have children. And she weeps, and she would not even eat. My friends, do you see the contrast that we're living in today? I had to look at the quick statistics. You know, we're living in a time of a low birth rate. Why is there a low birth rate in the West, my friends? You can go and Google this for yourself. You'll find every reason that comes up there is nothing but a selfish reason. It's going to be too expensive. I'm not going to be able to have a quality of life. Literally, they might as well just say, children are just going to keep me back from living my life. We've become so selfish in society that we only think about ourselves. And of course, we got the terrible tragedy that we sang about this morning. Those little children will never see the day of light. Approximately, I looked up, 300,000 abortions per year in the UK. 300,000. You know, think about, compare and contrast, try and explain that to somebody like a Hannah, if you could fast forward her into our time now. And she's begging the Lord for a child. And we said, well, we just rip them out of the womb, literally. Because it's inconvenient. And my great concern for us, not just as a church, but as a, you know, society and the world we're living in, is we've become so complacent with these things around about us. And these things are terrible tragedies that are happening. And of course, on the other end of life, there's talks about assisted dying and assisted suicide, all these things. Life is not held in that high regard as it always was. And so we see this. So I just wanted to bring our attention to that this morning. But then to see Hannah's heart here, okay, she's praying and praying. And it says in verse 8, it says, and as she was weeping, of course, she wouldn't eat and she's weeping, she's depressed. Now Elkanah, verse 8, her husband said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? I mean, obviously he knows. And he does what any good bloke would do. Am I not better to you than 10 sons, okay? Gents, this is something for us. Trying to fix the problem, okay? By saying some really sweet words, well-meaning words. I have tried this many times. Husbands, you know exactly what I'm talking about, yeah? Something is wrong, system malfunction, okay? All the wheels are coming off. I got the words to say. I've thought it through. I've got it. I'm going to fix this, yes? And you come out with this pearl of wisdom, and it only makes it worse. What does Hannah do? Elkanah, shame man, poor guy. Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Come on, Hannah, have you seen what I look like? Have you seen what joy I bring to you? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? And Hannah was so impressed. No, she was not. Verse 9, it says, Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. This lady was in deep, deep distress. And then in verse 11, it says, then she made a vow. Now, I want to just say to us this morning, okay, Because this is what I think is so important about this account. Okay, you see this all the way throughout the Bible. Okay, we heard words this morning and the scriptures that were spoken. God's ways are not our ways. His ways are way higher than ours. Okay, now God loves Hannah, and He loves His people. But Hannah is finding herself in this place of deep, deep anguish. And when God responds, as it were, she's coming from this place of complete and utter brokenness. God is about to do something, but something so big, it's way beyond Hannah, okay? The whole book that we're looking at here is the book of 1 and 2 Samuel. It's going to be about her son that will come about miraculously, this great prophet of God. But this is how it starts, okay? It's from a place of anguish. Now, I ask you this morning, in our comfortable lives, some of us are going through difficult times, yes, I know. But generally speaking, we are fairly comfortable here in the West. And there might be small times dotted across our timeline in our lives where we can say, I'm really in a place of deep anguish. Where do we go in that place of deep anguish? Yes? Do we get depressed? Do we go sit in our dying hole, as I said before? Do we want all the sympathy of people? Or can we do what Hannah does in this place, where she says, she made a vow, verse 11, and she said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child. Then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it says, and it happened as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. So Eli, the priest, is standing there, is watching Hannah as she's praying. And it says in verse 30, now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved. Have you had a prayer like that before, my friends? There is something to be said about audible prayer, but there's also something to be said where she's just on her hands and knees, if you like, uttering the words in her heart, just her lips are moving. And Eli, as we see here, Eli thought she was drunk. And so Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said to him, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. An utterly broken lady. And Eli answered and said to her, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant you your petition which you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went away and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Do you see the utter anguish of Hannah here, but then also the deep faith that she has? God has heard my prayer. I want to say to each and every one of us here this morning, there are many times out of anguish we cry out to God. Genuinely, okay? Genuinely, Lord, I'm crying out to you. And this is what I want, if you would only do this. But still he does not. But I can assure you, in a place like that, of deep anguish where you've come to God, he has heard you. Why do I know this? Psalm 51 verse 17. I'll just read this to you if you're going to look it up. Psalm 51 verse 17. God may not answer you the way that you want. In this case, he did for Hannah, but his plan was way bigger than hers. But if you are in that place of anguish, Psalm 51 verse 17, David's great prayer of repentance, after he sinned with Bathsheba and he came to his senses through the prophet Nathan, and he repents and he pours out his heart. He says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. In other words, God's not going to overlook you when you're in that place of utter brokenness, but you've come to him, your Father in heaven. And God has heard the prayer of Hannah, okay? And even though Elkanah tried to make it right and give her words of comfort, it's not good enough. But she received this, even though Eli said, may God just grant you your request. She received this by faith. And she went away. And then it says in verse 19, then she rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to her house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And so it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, which literally means heard by God. Oh my goodness, what an awesome story. Saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. Now the man Elkanah and his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, not until the child is weaned, then I will take him that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. Now we've got to grasp this, okay? Okay, our world where, as I said, people are thinking children are like a handbrake in life. This is the most precious gift that Hannah has received out of deep, deep anguish. And God honored and answered her prayer and gave her this child, Samuel. But she remembers the vow that she made to God. And now she's weaning the child as a mother. I mean, you know, it's one of the most amazing things, childbirth. What an amazing gift, as Albert has said. You know, it's one of our greatest fears. Single people out here, if you've never had children, okay, it's one of your greatest fears. Even after you're married and you think, oh, I don't know if I'll be able to be a parent. It's too tough. I'm not sure. Ladies thinking, go through pregnancy and all that stuff. No, okay. But amazing miracle that happens when that baby is born. And they shove that little creature into your hand, dad, you know, take it home. What must I do with this? And you look in the face of that baby and you think, wow, what a miracle. And there's a love that you cannot describe to anybody unless they've experienced this. A love for that child. And you think, I could never love a second child like that. Maybe I want to only have one. And then second child comes along and it's like another form of love. And it's like the same thing again. Well, I can't for a third one. A fourth one in my case even. Yes. God gives you this love, this miracle of birth. That is God's order. It's God's mandate for human beings to be fruitful and multiply. How dare we say, no, thank you, Lord. And put our hands in his face, as it were, and we don't want to receive this. I just want to live my life for myself. And we go to these extreme measures of even things like abortion. You know, there's an amazing miracle. Now, Hannah experienced this whole pregnancy, that first time holding that baby. My friends, again, I shared this story before. I had a work colleague of mine years ago, wasn't saved. He lived with his girlfriend, okay? Totally out of God's will for his life. And I remember I tried to speak to him because he had questions, but his eyes were and his ears were shut. And I knew it's because he's living in sin. He's not married. He's living with his girlfriend, okay? And he knows it's wrong. And eventually they make the right decision. They get married. Praise God. And he became more open. It was literally an example to me how his ears and his eyes were opened. And of course, his wife falls pregnant. First time he goes to see that scan, those modern day scans that you see. And he sees that little heartbeat and that little formed little baby. He came to work in tears, this guy. And he said, nobody can tell me that there's no God. Hey, because he saw the life in his wife's womb. And he now walks with the Lord. Amazing miracle. Now, Hannah experienced this. This child that she was yearning for and God had answered. Now she remembers her vow. And as Elkanah would go out yearly, she's weaning the child. When he's ready, I'll take him. And I'll fulfill my vow to God. And it says in verse 23, now, so Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word. Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Now when she had weaned him, verse 24, she took him up with her with three bulls and one ephah of flour and a skin of wine and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli, and she said, O my Lord, as your soul lives, and my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I've asked of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worship the Lord there. Please try and imagine this with me. Here is this miracle child, Hannah's vindication, Hannah's deep desire. And out of that anguish, as she prayed to God, Lord, I will give him back to you. Okay. And she remembers as she brings him to Eli, the high priest. He's yours. Well, God's, but to be of service in the house of the Lord. And they worship the Lord, and there she leaves the child. My friends, can you imagine the anguish and the pain and the separation, all the weird and the mixed feelings and emotions that is happening in Hannah's mind at that moment? But this is way bigger than Hannah. This is way bigger than Eli. This is even way bigger than Samuel. God was raising up this prophet for the people of Israel. He was going to anoint kings. He was going to be greatly feared by the men of Israel. This great man of God, this little child that was brought to the house of God. And something amazing happens. As she worships, it says there, and she lent unto the Lord, and so they worshiped the Lord there. Okay, don't ever forget this. Hannah had a deep devotion. She wasn't just making a bargain with God. She had a deep devotion and love for her God. And even Eli, perhaps, may it be unto you as you would like. No, she knew God had answered her prayer. And then she prays this fantastic prayer in chapter 2. We won't be able to look at it all this morning. But you can see something so amazing happening as the Spirit of God, I believe, comes upon her. And these words of heaven flow through Hannah, which is absolutely amazing that you find replicated even in the great Magnificat. Yes, Mary's great prayer that she prayed as she bore the Lord Jesus Christ. And so many of the things that she prays is similar to what Hannah is praying here. As the Spirit of God comes upon them. And it says in chapter 2, verse 1, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. Now, her heart is broken because of her child, whom she loves. And she's given him back to the Lord. This is something I don't think any of us would be able to do, how hard that would be. But she understood something way bigger is happening here. And she says, my heart rejoices in the Lord. This is you and me, my friends. We may not make sense of all that is happening around about us, even in our own lives. But one thing we can know without a doubt is our hearts can rejoice in the Lord. If you are found in him, always something to rejoice in. And it says, my horn is like her strength is exalted in the Lord. And I love what one Bible teacher said here. You can hear the words of heaven, the very anointing from heaven, the words of a prophecy, if you like, coming through Hannah. But at the same time, you hear the earthly accent here, okay? Because never forget, she's a lady. She's just a earth-born creature. And so she prays this lofty thing, but at the same time, I smile at my enemies. Another translation meant, my mouth is enlarged against my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. What was Hannah's very grief was her rival wife, okay? The rival wife, Peninnah, who was provoking her severely. Now, Hannah is vindicated. And you can see she's praying this heavenly prayer. Oh, my mouth is enlarged against my enemies, okay? And I love the fact that this is in the Bible, showing us our humanity and how we can bring this to God. I smile at my enemies, but of course it goes deeper because of I rejoice in your salvation, the bigger plan of God. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Hallelujah. And then she slips back into earthly accent. But as a warning to all of us, talk no more so very proudly. You can almost picture Hannah saying this to Peninnah's face. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. You may be going through a terrible injustice right now in your life. My friends, if you are a son and a daughter of the Most High God, let God vindicate you. Stand in his ways. The problems arise when we try to fix it ourselves. Psalm 37 says, do not fret. It only causes harm. Make space for God to move in your life. But be in this place like Hannah, okay? And there's a great warning for each of us. And then it says, the bows of the mighty men, verse 4, are broken, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne 7, and she has many children. She who has many children has become feeble. You can see how God turns the tables. This is something our God delights to do. 1 Corinthians 1:27. You can have a look at this with me. A really amazing verse here. One for us always to hold on to and remember. 1 Corinthians 1:27. Because Hannah rejoiced in the Lord. And it says here, Paul says, but God, verse 27 of chapter 1, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Why? So that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Hannah said, my soul, my heart rejoices in the Lord. Can you say that this morning in all that you're going through? And I know in this room there are some pretty tough things happening even right now. As believers in Jesus, we can rejoice in the Lord. And we know that he is doing something far bigger. Now, my friends, Hannah's prayer was heard in this instance. And God blessed her with this child, Samuel, who became such a pillar in the house of Israel. They literally feared Samuel. Okay? And remember, our King Saul, this mighty king of Israel. And even as Saul falls, and then Samuel brokenhearted, but he's got to go anoint a next king, and he's got to go find King David, the weakest of the household of Jesse. And he anoints him as king, even if David was hidden in the field. Mighty man of God. And you can imagine Hannah as she saw this from afar. Her son, that's my boy. That's my boy. I prayed for him. I was in anguish. And God gave him to me. And he is like a hammer in the household of Israel. What a powerful man of God he was. Now, here's the challenge to each and every one of us. In light of what Albert was sharing with us, my friends, we are living in this time now. Please, let's remember this. The world out there, when you step out these doors, that is the world view. We just want to live for ourselves. I will decide how I do things on my own. I'm not against family planning and households making plans and deciding when we're right to have children, my friends, but we've got to do this in God's ways, ethical ways, okay? Understand and know what that is. Abortion is out the window. This is not an option, okay? But the world has so accepted this. I remember talking to one lady a few years ago, and she was saying some of her colleagues have had 4 to 5 abortions already. Only because it's an inconvenience. And at one stage, I remember I read the statistics, and most abortions are happening in households, in married couples. Again, for the only reason, it's an inconvenience. I don't know how you would explain something like that to a Hannah in the Old Testament. And so here's a huge challenge to each and every one of us, these children that God has given us, these lovely faces we saw this morning, my friends. They're up against it. They are being thrust into a world. Let me tell you, as it says, Albert read that scripture, you know, we are to teach them diligently. diligently, okay? So it's not just Sunday morning, right? I emphasize that this morning, okay? Even we got a Christian school here. We praise God for that. The children come. They start with praise and worship. We pray. Their very curriculum is rooted and founded upon God's word. Even the science, all the things they learn is all Bible saturated. And we're blessed by that. But still, the responsibility is on the parents and the grandparents to raise their children in the ways of God. This is no small thing, and we are up against it. And as it says in Colossians, beware lest anyone take you captive, or literally take them as a war plunder. Because I can assure you, this world is teaching children diligently, not God's ways, which is why we see the fruit that we see in society today, all the wokisms, all the things like abortion, all the gender confusion. My friends, that even people with half a brain, may I say this respectfully, okay? Looking in and saying, what has happened to humans? What has happened to us? What are we gone crazy? Why are people believing this? Why are people living like this? And this is the great challenge that we have. And you've got to look at it, where it comes from. It is vain and empty deceit and ideologies pushed that is satanic in its very nature. And you and I are up against it. And therefore, for our children, we got to pray. And Albert's burden is so real this morning for us. Parents, we've got to do better. I'm saying to you this morning as pastor of the church, I can do a lot better. I can do a lot better with my household. And I should. And I want to challenge each and every one of us. We've got to do a lot better. And ask the Lord to help you. Don't be afraid. Take that step. Say, Lord, here we are. We are your children. We are grandparents, parents. Lord, we just pray that you will help us. Give us the anointing. Give us the skill. Help us just to come together. Help us take that first step in the right direction. It's one of the hardest things, but it's just that you take that first step, then you see the next step opens. Next step. The next step opens. But if we all just sit back there and say, oh, it's too big a task. I can't do it, my friends. You know, Dave mentioned something to me the other day that somebody mentioned to him about children. That when you have children, generally speaking, you only have 18 summers with them. You know, that gripped my heart. 18 summers, if you think about it, the busyness of life. We've got our summer holidays, a time when we can set aside 18. And then they move on and generally go and do their thing. Some may come back. But our time with our children is so short. And I want to encourage you, each and every one, and I want to speak to young people, my own young children here, you know. I heard this in a lecture that was spoken at one of those ARC conferences that they had in London. Many of you have seen them. It's got a sort of Christian undertone to it, but they're addressing many of the things, all the bad fruit that we're seeing in Western culture today, and asking the question, what's gone wrong? Because something's gone wrong. Okay, and everyone can see that. And I remember one man saying there, and he was a high-flying, I don't know if he's a CEO of some company or whatever, but and a believer, but he spoke out about how, you know, driving our children and, you know, get an education and it's good and, you know, get your car, get the house, get settled, make a name for yourself, get your career up and running, fly and do well. And he said, and somewhere along the line, I had forgotten as a dad, I also need to teach them that one day they must get married, have children, start a family of their own. This is a basic principle of life. Now I know there's many families that can't do that for whatever reasons. And Paul even says, you know, he wishes all men were like he was unmarried. But at the same time, he understood the importance of marriage and family. And so I want to encourage even the young people, pray. I prayed. Dared to pray this. Okay. I even said, Lord, I would like someone like this and like this and like that. Okay. And you know what? God answered. And as the years went by, I actually said, oh, I should have added a few more things to the list. I'm joking. I'm very blessed. I've got to be careful what I say. But God answered my prayer. My friends, again, not a formula, but I want to say to you, it came from a heart of, Lord, I just want to do what you want to do. So I want to say to young people here this morning, okay, and for our young people that are praying for, don't be afraid. Ask God Pursue your careers. But it says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will direct your path. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Find out what's God's way first, is what I'm trying to say to us this morning. Find out what's important to him and say, Lord, that's what I want. I will do what the world requires of me to do, if you like, without sinning and compromising, but your way and your way only. And see what God would do, because his promise is to direct our paths. And then, my friends, for us to understand this awesome, awesome responsibility in raising these children, okay, not just our own, but we look around as families, we are responsible to raise up and pray for our children, pray for them as they do the children's church and all these things. We got awesome responsibility in our hands. So I hope this challenges each and every one of us. Okay, it's a hard task, but let me say to you again, as Albert said as well, it's hard to be parents, but let me also tell you, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Yes, young families to start, it's one of the most amazing things when you see your family grow and your children grow, and they, boy, do they grow. You know, and we shouldn't instill fear in them. And I confess before you publicly this morning, I did this ashamedly. Okay. I went to go visit Dave's mom in hospital before she passed away. And on my way out, found myself in the elevator or the lift. And in walks a couple who just had a newborn baby. Beautiful baby. And oh, congratulations, everything wonderful. And as the doors opened and I looked around, I said, ooh, your lives are going to be very different now. And the door shut and I walked away. And I thought, why did I say that? They were so full of joy. I just burst their bubble. I hope they received it from the love that I had in my heart for them. But yes, your life will be tough. But my friends, it is an awesome, awesome blessing. And when we see our children walk with the Lord, there is nothing better than that. Amen. So, Lord, I just pray for us this morning. I know it's a tough message, Lord, and we're so tainted by the world that we live in, Lord, and we so often forget some of these great evils that are around about us. But, Lord, we come before you this morning. I pray that we will have heaven's perspective, Lord, where we are thinking in a wrong way. Bring us to correction, Lord, that we will see things through your ways, because you never change. You are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, and your ways are right. They are righteous. They are holy. Righteousness and truth, your word says, are the very foundation of your throne. Lord, we can see the bad fruit that has come from, Lord, a culture and a society that has pushed aside your ways. But Lord, with that, we also want to pray for our nation. And we want to pray for families. No, Lord, I can see the people are seeking to turn back to those old ways. I pray that, Lord, the truth would go forth. You would raise up voices in this last days, Lord, to show people the way and to show them what has been lost and to regain, like the people of Nehemiah, Lord, when they heard the words, they were cut to the heart, they wept and they had their hands raised to the air as they realized how far they have fallen. And they repented. We pray that for this nation. We pray this, Lord, for Western civilization and, Lord, all over the world. I know there are nations that still uphold many of these things. But Lord, we've forgotten this in our time. Pray for our schools, Lord. They'll return again to Christian truth. And that, Lord, we'll see children raised up in your ways and be mighty men and women of God. Lord, help us parents, grandparents, future parents, all of us here this morning to have a heavenly perspective on this precious thing that you've put in place, called family. And we thank you for every broken person. Thank you for every person that feels rejected. And perhaps family has just been completely messed up for them. We thank you, Abba Father. You put us in a family. And you love us so. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dave.
Amen.